Today we are beginning a brand new series titled, I Said This, You Heard That. Now just hearing that phrase makes some of us perk up, and we immediately begin thinking, well, I've certainly been there, done that, even have the scars to prove it. We all know that communicating is a critical part of every single relationship we have with another human being. Whether the other person is a family member, a friend, co-worker, teammate, roommate, a member of our community group, maybe an employee or an employer, the way we talk to each other and the way we hear each other will often determine the success or failure of that relationship. Communication is a challenge. How many of you have experienced something like this? You've just said the wrong thing. The minute you say it, you wished you could take it back because it was the wrong thing to say. We've all been there. We've also had those moments where we've said the right thing in the wrong way. Or we've said the right thing at the wrong time. Or we've said the right thing and the person listening heard it completely different than what we intended. Or maybe you've had those moments where you've been better off if you would have said nothing at all. But on the other hand, there are moments when saying nothing at all causes even more damage than a word you might have said. Communication is a challenge. Every one of those scenarios reminds us of that truth. But we all need to make a commitment to get better at this thing called communication because words are something that we live with every single day. In fact, people who study words and study communication, they tell us that on average, every person speaks about 16,000 words every single day. Imagine 16,000 words a day. Now, if we're honest, we're going to admit that some of us are way above average. Don't poke the person sitting next to you, okay? We know some folks, they are way above average. In fact, at noon, they have already spoken their 16,000 words and they are just getting started for the day. On the other hand, there are folks who are well below average. They can't even imagine speaking 16,000 words in an entire week. But wherever you fall on the law of averages when it comes to the 16,000 words per day, here's the truth. Every word is important. In fact, we are told in Scripture over and over and over again about the power contained within our words. In Proverbs, it says, "With our words, we can destroy our friends." In Proverbs 15, verse 4, it says, "Gentle words are like a tree of life. A deceitful tongue can crush the spirit." In Proverbs 16, verse 24, it says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." There are hundreds of verses just like that in the Bible that describe to us the power of our words and give us some instruction about how we can use our words the right way. Now we're going to look at one passage of Scripture, one little verse found in a little New Testament letter called the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul, as we know him, is writing to new Christ followers living in the ancient city of Ephesus. He's trying to help them understand how to follow Jesus in every single area of their life. And so in chapter 4, verse 29 of Ephesians, Paul writes these words, and I want you to look at them with me. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." That is a power-packed passage of Scripture. That one little verse has so much meaning, so much instruction for us in our world today. The Greek word that Paul uses for unwholesome in that first part of the verse is filled with meaning. In fact, it really has two categories of meaning. It means useless, words that are worthless, words that have no value, words that should never be said. They're just unwholesome, they're useless. And then it also can mean harmful, meaning words that are corrupt or rotten or toxic, or they just can cause damage. Now, as we think about unwholesome words going forward in this series, I want to give you a couple of handles just to use and to think about. When we talk about unwholesome words and unpack that word, we're going to use it this way. We're going to say that there are words that are unhelpful. They are just unhelpful. They're useless. They have no bad value. They don't benefit anyone or anything. They're words we should never, ever say because they're just unhelpful. And then there are unhealthful words. Remember, Paul said there are words that are unwholesome and they're harmful, they're toxic, they're damaging. We all know that there are words that can damage us emotionally, damage us mentally, damage our psyche, and they're unhealthful words. Paul says we should be people who make sure we are avoiding each of those. We don't want to be people who are letting that kind of stuff come out of our mouth. In fact, Paul draws a contrast here. He says, you should not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. Only what's helpful for building others up. That's the exact opposite of stuff that's unhelpful or unhealthful. Now, it is really important that we pay attention to Paul's words, to what he is saying here, because psychologists and researchers tell us that our words are so important, and that they tell us that for every one encouraging word that we receive during the day, we receive 6 words of complaint and criticism. Just take a look at that. Think about it. For every one word of positivity and encouragement we have, there is 6 words of complaint and criticism that you and I experience on a daily basis. I mean, think about this just for a moment. One word of encouragement, one word that's helpful, and for every one of those that we experience, there are 6 others that hit us during the day. Sometimes from people that we care about, sometimes from people that we love, sometimes from people maybe we barely know. But there are 6 criticisms, complaints, negative things that hit us for every one that is positive. Paul says this is a significant issue. You need to really think about the words that you are letting come out of your mouth. Now, I think we know from personal experience that this happens. There's lots more critical things that usually are said than there are positive things. But it's true not only for us personally, it's true for everyone. We all in our lives wind up hearing more unhelpful, unhelpful words than we do words that build each other up. But Paul says, you've got to be people who are very strategically using your words to help each other, to build each other up. And he says it is according to your need or according to their need. So you don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Paul says the priority for our words should be the needs of others. So that means the priority for what I say should not be what I feel like I need to say. The priority for my words, the priority for your words, should be based on how can I help someone else according to their need at that moment. I don't know about you, but when I hear those words of Paul, when I read those words of Paul, I am painfully aware of how often I mess this up. I need help. You need help to communicate better, to use our words in the right way. I think we need a strategy to be able to live out Paul's instructions. One of the ways that we're going to help figure this out and unpack this truth from Scripture during this series is we're going to try to figure out ourselves, and we're going to try to better understand the people around us. And we're going to use some talk and some language about this thing called temperament throughout the series. Let me just unpack it for you just for a moment. Hundreds of years before Jesus ever lived, the father of medicine, Hippocrates, described four different categories of human traits and behavior. A little bit later on in history, Greeks began to study Hippocrates' theories and ideas, and so they took the categories that he had developed and they named them, and they called them these words that you probably are quite familiar with. They called these four temperaments sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic. And more than 2,000 years later, modern psychologists are still using those four basic temperaments to think about personality and to develop personality profiles. In fact, many of you have taken Myers-Briggs, and it's based off from this language and these ideas that were thousands and thousands of years old. So let's think about it just for a minute. When we talk about our temperament, we're talking about our innate wiring from God, what we are naturally predisposed to. It's almost like eye color or fingerprint. It doesn't change. It's just something that's inside of us that for some people, they're drawn to the spotlight. For other people, they want to stay in the quiet, alone office cubicle. It's just sort of how we are wired up on the inside. Then there's this thing that often gets confused for temperament called personality. Personality is really how you display your temperament, how you display your thoughts and your feelings. And it's influenced by so many things. It's influenced by birth order, education, experiences. And our personalities, they are shaped by experience, and they do evolve over time. And if you doubt that, just think about this. Think about you in high school or you in grade school and the you of today. Now, hopefully, you've matured. Hopefully, the experiences and life has shaped you and made you a better version of who God intended you to be. Our personalities evolve over time. Our temperaments do not. So we're going to spend some time during this series as we dig into God's Word. We're also going to talk a little bit about temperament, because our temperaments are really the why behind our personality. And listen to this, our temperaments shape the words we speak and what we hear when other people speak. You and I need to understand ourselves better, and we need to understand each other better, because our temperaments shape the words we speak and what we hear when other people speak. Now, these four basic temperaments, over the years, people have attached shapes and colors to them. And I think you'll appreciate a little video description of these four temperaments. So if you would, take a look at the screen. So I hope you enjoyed that little video description. I suspect that many of you already know or have an inkling about which of these temperaments you find yourself. Maybe you've already taken a test before, or you've taken a dozen tests before, or maybe just listening to those descriptions, you begin to see yourself in those temperaments. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about those and how you can actually take a little test yourself in a moment, but I want to tell you why this is so important. We've already said that the temperaments shape the words we speak and the things that we hear, but we also need to recognize the fact that our temperaments, they just sort of predispose us to speak in a certain way and with certain words. We are just going to automatically, just almost on autopilot, respond in a certain way because of our temperament. When somebody engages you in conversation, or somebody calls you on the phone, or however it is that you communicate, there's a certain language that just automatically comes to the surface. You don't even think about it. And if you take a look at the screen, we're going to show you some of the ways these languages speak automatically. If you are a sanguine, you are a fun-loving person, and that means you're going to have a language of people and fun. You're probably very extroverted and people-oriented. If you are a phlegmatic, then you're going to speak the language of calm and harmony, and you'll be a little more introverted, and you'll still be people-oriented. If you're choleric, then you speak the language of power and control. You take charge. You lead. and you tend to be extroverted and you tend to be task-oriented. If you're melancholic, then you speak the language of perfection and order, probably introverted, probably task-oriented. Now, most all of us have a top temperament and then a secondary temperament, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the series. But I want you to know that every single one of these temperaments is important. There's not a right one, there's not a wrong one, there's not one that's better than the other. God has wired us up so that every one of these temperaments are critical for our world to work the way it's supposed to. If there weren't sanguines, nobody would ever have fun. There'd never be a party if there weren't sanguines. We absolutely need sanguines. We also need cholerics, because if you weren't a choleric, then nobody would lead. Nobody would take charge. And if there weren't melancholics, there would be no order. Everything would just be all helter-skelter and all over the place. So we need everybody. We need phlegmatics, because they're calm and they're able to reach across the aisle and talk to people well who are different and who maybe disagree with them. We need everybody for society to work well. All of these temperaments, they have strengths and they all have weaknesses. All of us have this tendency to speak words based solely on our temperament. But listen, the challenge from the Apostle Paul is that we speak certainly according to our temperament, but also based on the needs of the people around us. As we understand their temperament, we're able to understand how we ought to speak into their lives. And Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Do not let. That means, he says, you actually have a choice. Yes, there are things that come naturally to you. Yes, there are things that you're predisposed to behave like, and words you're predisposed to say and language you're predisposed to use. That's true, but Paul says you still have a choice. You always have a choice. So he says, ultimately, you get to choose the words that you use. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You get to choose the words that you use. So imagine what a difference it would make in our relationships, our families, our workplace environments, the people that we hang out with, our friends. Imagine what a difference it would make if we could actually figure out a way to successfully live out this instruction from Scripture. If we could actually live this, imagine what a difference it would make. Imagine how meaningful our words could be if we actually understood ourselves better and understood the people around us better. Imagine if moment by moment we made a choice to speak words according to the needs of those closest to us, and that they could actually benefit from them. They could be built up. We could be a part of those words that build each other up, as opposed to those who tear each other down. Well, friends, our goal as we take this journey in this series, I Said This, You Heard That, is for all of those things we just imagined to be a reality in our lives, for our communication to be transformed into something that is always helpful, that always builds each other up, that always benefits each other. And you know what? Jesus is the perfect example of this. Jesus spoke life-giving words. And you know what? Jesus had some difficult, hard conversations with people. Jesus held people accountable. Jesus said the things that were sometimes tough for others to hear, but he always did it in a way that was according to their need, that always was for their benefit. And so ultimately, our goal in this series is for you and for me to figure out a way to communicate and use our words like Jesus did. We want to be people who do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So as we go through the next few weeks of our series, We're going to take a little journey. We're going to figure out ourselves better, others better, and we're going to figure out how to put into place some strategies that will help us live out this passage of Scripture. So I want to encourage you to dive deeper with us into this series. There's a phone app called I Said This, You Heard That. It looks just like the series logo, and you can download that onto your phone, and it will give you videos that supplement what we're talking about on Sunday. There's a workbook, a physical workbook that you can order off Amazon. You can also download it onto your device, an iPad or Kindle, whatever you like to read on, and we want to encourage you to do that personally. We want to encourage you to bring your family into that conversation. You can actually do this study as a family through the workbook and through the phone app. You can also join one of our small groups. There's a number of groups in the Grace Point family that are actually going to be walking through a six-week small group journey into this, to this material. And we'd love to have you participate and be a part of it. If you have questions, you can let us know in the Facebook feed or making a comment on social media, or you can certainly go to our website and you can fill out the connection form, ask the question. We'll do our very best to get back with you, or even just send us an email or call the church office. Our goal is to help you and for all of us to move up the road spiritually and in our relationships to be more Christ-like. So as we take this journey, I'd love for you to just let me pray for you before we go. So God, we ask that you would somehow, some way help us make a choice. A choice to speak words that build each other up, that encourage each other, that benefit the people around us. And I pray that you would give us restraint and understanding to not ever use words that are unhelpful or unhealthful to the people around us. And God, as we open up our hearts to you, as we open up our hearts to your word and to the leading of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us understand ourselves better and understand the people around us in a greater way so that our communication can be honoring to you in every relationship that we have. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.